Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm going to teach you about the next generation of facelift and neck lift. This is a plastic surgery secret. And we're interviewing Dan Holton, who's CEO of Cypress Medical. This is a startup that's going to improve outcomes in plastic surgery by commercializing and developing the next generation of technology so that you don't have to have a surgical facelift. Hopefully it'll be non-invasive. Dan has his MBA from Kellogg Graduate School of Management, Northwestern. He's been in the commercial medical field with many global leaders, including Abbott Vascular Devices, Abbott Diagnostic, Kimberly-Clark, so many, 24 years of health experience. And now he is one of the founders on this of this company called Exact, and they're gonna replace two of the oldest technologies in surgery, the needle holder and the forceps, and those are 100 years old and 70 years old. So welcome, Dan, we need you.
Thank you, Dr. K, I'm excited to be here today.
So tell us a little bit about Exact. What is Exact Technology and what did you do starting Cypress Medical?
So we co-founded Cypress Medical and we were really focused on looking at technologies early on that maybe weren't getting the attention of larger companies because they needed to be developed further. And larger companies sometimes don't make investments in some of the newer technologies until they're a little more proven. So we co-founded the company. We really identified a need in the area of plastic surgery in that most surgical specialties, when you think of orthopedics or cardiology, they have become less invasive. So if you know anybody who's got who has an endoscope on their knee, it's a very minimally invasive procedure. Yet, and you look at plastic surgery is actually the best outcomes. Not everybody is ready for a surgical procedure because of the downtime, the anesthesia, and the recovery time. And we asked ourselves, why aren't there less invasive options for the plastic surgeon? And that's really what we're about. We're very passionate about trying to make surgery less invasive so that we can get the results of surgery, but a lot less invasively.
Yeah, I think that's so true that every other surgical specialty has undergone a whole paradigm shift of let's do less. Like, let's not do open heart surgery where we crack open the sternum and put people on bypass. Let's do cardiovascular procedures through the groin or through a wrist puncture. Like, my husband's an interventional cardiologist, so he's doing total aortic valve replacements with ephemeral stick, just a quick outpatient procedure with what used to be like a week in the hospital on a bypass machine. So it's kind of incredible. And yet in aesthetics, we kind of are inching towards that with injectables and Botox and things like lasers and peels, et cetera, but really not so much in terms of surgical options. So what is the Exact device exactly? Exactly, what is Exact?
So Exact, it actually is a surgical device that allows the surgeon to grab tissue and deliver a suture in a very difficult to reach location without being able to see visualization. And what that allows them to do is to get to a location that's a little bit further away from where they enter. So the way to think about that is that, when you talked about Botox and you talked about filler, and that's a great place to start because the biggest application of the device today is actually in the face and the neck. And when we think about facial aging, you think about changes to the skin and the elasticity and whatnot. You think about loss of volume, where you start getting a hollowing of the cheek. And you also think about, what we call gravitational descent, which is we just see, drooping and changes. Today, you mentioned Botox, which is an effective treatment for skin and wrinkles. There's plenty of skincare. You see that there's Juvederm and other fillers that have addressed volume. But today, the three best options for gravitational descent are all surgical. And so that would be a brow lift, a facelift, or a neck lift. And so what Exact allows you to do in a less invasive way is to get results similar to a facelift and a neck lift. We're not replacing those procedures. We're just allowing for earlier intervention and for that patient that, needs a little bit more than what they're able to get with the treatments today.
Do you think this is sort of akin to a thread lift? Because Sounds a little bit like placing a deep suture at a distance like we do with thread lifting. So in my office, I'm doing brow lifts, mid-face thread lifts, neck lifts, everything with threads.
Correct. So we are, you know, thread lift, I would say, is a less invasive option. You know, one of the challenges is that thread lift, lasts about a year to 2 years. And that's, you know, the what we're actually doing is we're simulating more the actual surgical procedure. We're actually really addressing the same tissue that you would address when you do a facelift. We see longevity that's similar to the surgical procedures. We are a little bit more invasive. There's a little bit more recovery time. You know, about 4 to 5 days is what we've seen in the patients that have undergone the procedure. There might be, and it really depends on the surgeon preference, but there might be either local or general anesthesia, depending on all the procedures that might be done on that particular patient. But we're actually seeing results that are more similar. So I could envision where a patient might have an earlier intervention with a thread lift. You know, the question might be, what's the next procedure that they might want to get? They would move up into a little bit slightly more invasive, but more permanent, procedure. And that's where our device would come into play.
So interestingly, Allergan Aesthetics has, entered into an option to acquire you guys. Have they actually acquired Cypress Medical?
Not yet. They've actually given us, they're giving us, you know, we're really excited, first of all, about the partnership, as, you know, they are an ideal partner in aesthetics. And what they've really done is given us the ability to accelerate our product development and to help us build clinical support. So we're developing the next generation device, and we're going to be initiating a clinical study where we'll have additional proof sources for the effectiveness and safety of the procedures.
And it's already FDA approved since April of 2017 as a device approval, right?
Correct. So we have, here's one sitting right here. So yeah. The current version of the device is actually FDA approved. It is available commercially. We have a limited amount of surgeons using the device today. We're going to be working on the next generation device. Once we've gotten feedback, we've got surgeon feedback, identified opportunities for improvement, and that will be the version of the device that we're currently developing.
And so in under an hour, maybe with either general or conscious sedation type of anesthesia, you can enter the skin through a little small opening. And that device visibly looks like it has a forceps biting tool at the end and a suture grasping tool at the end. So you're able to sneak in under the tissues and grab some of the SMAS, or the submuscular aponeurotic system of the muscles of the face that are descending, and then you can kind of pexy and suture that upwards. Is that right?
Exactly. I do not have a suture loaded in here, but you would load a suture into the device, and the device, depending on the procedure you're doing, either uses suction to grab the tissue, or you can, in a mid-facelift, you can just palpate. And so the tissue is actually captured right here in this, we call this arc. For accurate, repeatable capture. And then what would happen is this is a little bit around our IP, but in the tip here, there's actually a unique hook interface. So if you've ever worked with a sewing machine, it's very similar. So it's like a single stitch sewing machine, and that the suture would pass through the tissue, would be captured in the end of the device. And as you remove it, you now have delivered that anchor suture into the tissue. And then you would elevate the tissue and fixate it, typically where you went in, right to the deep temporal fascia.
How interesting. Is that your brainchild? Is that sort of your passion? Do you have sewing in your past?
No, but I do know quite a bit about it now. I know more than the average. I know a lot about a very narrow field now, having thought about this for 18 hours a day for 7 years. Yeah. But as we learned about it, we realized that, some of the problems that we had to solve. So you see a lot of, I am no engineer, but I have a lot of expertise in this particular field now. And I've looked at quite a few patents, and there are quite a few endoscopic suturing devices that are really out there in the patent sphere. But none of them have really made it to market because of actual limitations with, when they meet the real world. And so we had to solve a lot of those problems, you know, you're getting enough tissue. That's an issue. And accounting for different patient anatomies. Not every patient has the exact same type of tissue, and it might be elastic, it might be thicker, thinner. And so we had to create a device that would allow for a consistent amount. That's why we call it exact, because it allows you to deliver a suture exactly where you want it at a very consistent and precise depth. And it gives you exact purchase.
How does that differ from, you know, like you said, there are lots of endoscopic equipment tools for GI surgery or colon surgery that general surgeons are using. So how does that differ in terms of your device? Because already people are doing endoscopic gallbladder removal where they have to snip and cut and suture and coagulate. So what are the differences in terms of a facial device with exact?
So the device does not require an endoscope. So you actually would be able to use the device without having to put in a scope, another scope, which, as you know, the more tissue disruption and the more trauma you put on the tissue, the more invasive the procedure becomes. So we want to try to leave a very small footprint, so to speak. So there's no need for an endoscope. There's no need for more than one incision to access the location. When you think of I actually had an endoscopic knee surgery. I had three holes in my knee where they went in, right?
Yeah. Because
one was for the scope, one was for, the camera, and one was for, another device. So with one access, you're able to both grab the tissue to capture it and then to suture it.
Does it have a camera in it?
It does not.
Doing this with tactile feel.
Yep, all so without visualization.
So you're counting on the fact that we're elevating a plane of skin to open up the surgical field. So it's highly appropriate for the face and neck because we have to open it up a little bit. Would you ever envision this being used in the office setting, like with someone who was experienced and had done enough open cases? Would it translate to something where in the office you could make a little opening and grab a purchase of skin and or muscular system and tighten it back? Like your facelift was loosening up 10 years later and just want a little tuck?
Yeah, absolutely. So the incision today is just, at least for the midface, is just up in the temple, just up in the deep temporal fascia, and it's periosteal. So you're actually you're in a very safe plane for that procedure. So we do have a surgeon who's done lateral brow lifts in the office. It is suitable for the office. It really just comes down to the surgeon's comfort, as well as sometimes patients might be getting other procedures done that are more suitable for general anesthesia. So it really just comes down what's best for the patient, but there's really no reason that you couldn't do it in the office under local.
I mean, thread lifts are being done now by RNs and nurse practitioners, PAs, and people that don't have surgical training. Does that worry you at all that devices like this can get into those hands?
It does, actually.
Non-surgeons, or is it only designed for surgeons, or can anybody be trained to be able to do these cases?
We actually focus on board certified surgeons, and we focus on board certified plastic surgeons and board certified facial plastic surgeons. And for us, we want to make sure it is a surgical procedure, and we want to make sure that it's in the hands of a well-trained professional. And there are for a surgeon that's well trained in anatomy and in surgical technique, there is minimal risk. However, the way we treat, and we've done this the entire time with our company, the way we treat the quality, the way we treat the way we've developed the device and the way we train is, would I be comfortable having it done on my family? And so that's always a good, and that's the way we've looked at it. And I would want someone like you doing the procedure on my family member. And so that's where we focused.
I would be excited to try the device. I have a lot of endoscopic experience, actually, since I do endoscopic sinus surgery. And with head and neck procedures, I do definitely the face, the brow, the neck. But the anatomy is quite challenging and difficult, so that would be certainly a concern. You can certainly grab or staple a facial nerve branch or a facial artery branch. So obviously knowledge is the most powerful weapon here in terms of safety. But I think that this is definitely going to be a game changer. When do you guys start your clinical trials to demonstrate the efficacy and show us the results?
So we're hoping to start enrollment mid-year this year. It's really, we want to use the, we're developing a new version of the device and we want to use it as part of the study. And so we're trying to map those two projects up, but we anticipate likely towards the third or fourth quarter this year starting the enrollment and then getting the study done in early 2022.
Wow, so interesting. All right, well, sign me up. I volunteer.
Well, you know, you mentioned too, you know, some of the surgery do. What's interesting as well is, you know, we've actually had the device used. We initially are focused really on aesthetics. However, the device has actually been used therapeutically in patients with palsy, actually have been done for facial resuspension. And mm-hmm. so you really, you know, we actually have seen some use there as well. And so not really the intention initially, but we actually have it being used a little bit in that area as well.
I can imagine it being quite successful in the neck, like, because I see so many ladies that are in their late 40s to 50s that are not ready for a full facelift, and yet their neck laxity is bothering them a lot. And this is a relatively easy area to access in the office in terms of we do submental lipo with just a local numbing. So I could definitely, in my head, I'm imagining like how I could use that tool to tighten someone who's not ready for a facelift, but definitely not happy with the neck quality. And I think that would be great to have that minimally invasive option too, as well as bringing it into major, you know, facelifts and neck lifts. So I think we should work on that. That would be very cool.
Yeah.
How does a company yours? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say what we find is we get the device in the hands of a great surgeon and they find quite a few uses for it. So we've had, we within our product pipeline, we thought of other uses for it. We have a surgeon who's using it in the breast. We have a surgeon who has used it for a reverse abdominoplasty, pairing it with some other technologies. So it really is, you know, and I've had surgeons explain this to me. They're like, I'm in a very difficult place. I'm in a hole and I have to throw a suture and I just can't, you know, I can't get it where I want it and I can't see. So I, you know, it's, it can meet a lot of different needs as well. And it's really exciting to see some of the questions we get back from surgeons.
Mind blown, like breast lift. That would be amazing if we could do that, because you just need to pop in a couple sutures and you have like a little suspension bra. That would be amazing.
Yeah. We've thought through that.
Except for mammogram findings. Mammographic changes might be an issue, but that's all definitely a thought. But you're right, as a device comes into use, we often start using it in a creative non-FDA approved uses and it becomes even more interesting. How does a company like Cypress get itself in front of Allergan Aesthetics? That's interesting from a founder standpoint. Like, that's very fortuitous. How did you make that happen?
So, really a credit to the advisors that we sought out early on. So my co-founder, who's also my brother, had worked at Allergan Aesthetics and had since left, but he had quite a network of plastic surgeons that we tapped into early on. And we realized that we lacked medical credibility when we co-founded the company. We were both medical device professionals. We knew how to develop the device, but we were not trained surgeons. And so we sought out Dr. Lou Buckey, who was our third founder. And we made sure that we surrounded ourselves with surgeons that were well-respected and had the connections actually to help us get access. And so, you know, that was really useful. Ultimately, the device has to work and it has to, it has to do what it says it does for them to look at it. But it is, it is helpful to have surgeons who have those connections.
That's for sure. And also just good luck and fate, a good device and the right timing, yes, and the right location.
Well, you know, it, yeah, I, Yeah, and I can tell you that a lot of, you know, this is my first startup, and everything takes a little bit longer and is a lot more expensive than you ever could imagine. And I can tell you there, you cannot discount what you would call luck. And I just meet preparation meets opportunity. There is quite a, there were several, I can't tell you how many times during the development of the device, there were elements where it was like, if it, this happens, we're done. And if this happens, we move forward. There were these very binary events and more of them than I can count where it was like, we're either bankrupt or we move forward. And you know, we made them through all those different hurdles. And it's, you know, I heard someone talk about a startup once and said, you have 30, you know, there's one good day and 30 bad days. And it's true. It's, you know, you go through a lot of ups and downs, but I do think it was really good team. It's always a good team. It's having a good product and then, you know, having the connections to get you the warm introduction so you can at least have that conversation.
That's so true. It's important for anybody out there who's starting something to hear that, because all you see, you end up seeing just the splashy advertising and the amazing campaign and the gloss and the slickness at the end of it, but you don't see the grit that goes into getting it off the ground, which takes a lot. Takes a lot of good hard work, but I'm so excited to try it. And I will definitely be sharing more with our listeners, because I, as a surgeon and as a head and neck and facial plastic surgeon specifically, it's a passion of mine to do surgery, but by the same token, I'm also probably the woman that doesn't really want to do surgery on her own face as it changes. And I think this whole generation has become a generation that was used to no downtime, non-invasive, like look, just constant maintenance is going to allow us to not do these major overhauls that people did in the past. So I'm really grateful to have this new technology to help advance our patients' interest in looking good without doing major procedures. And I think that should be a paradigm shift for our specialty. Like we started this conversation by saying, like, this is plastic surgery is one of the fields where we've had very few big changes in how we do these large operations, and we need to. Yeah. Need to evolve.
Yep. Nope. I totally agree. And I think there is, the time is really right, right? We're seeing so many patients that are now more willing to come into, look into aesthetic treatments. And we just need to give more options for them that really match up to what their needs are. And, you know, I always think of a continuum of minimally invasive, non-surgical and minimally invasive treatments and then surgery. And they're just on complete opposite ends. And so what can we do in the middle that might be able to address patients who, you know, have exhausted treatments or, you know, but aren't quite ready to move into a more invasive procedure.
Well, as you head into clinical trials, I would love it if you guys will have an arm of your study that looks, I'm sure you'll ask for faces that are naive and never been treated, never operated, not manipulated too much as sort of like a clean way to do a study. But I think it's going to be really practical and important to see this that product used when people have had facial fillers, because our typical client's going to be a woman who's already had fillers, threads, maybe biostimulators like Radius or Sculpture, which make the skin somewhat fibrotic and difficult to dissect in facelift surgery. So yeah. I think it would be so important to bring in an arm of previous injectable patients, previous thread patients, just to see if the device is still going to be, like if there's an exclusion class to see that the skin's too thick and scarred and fibrotic with, you know, with those interventions. Just yep. as a
nope,
thought.
I agree. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's, you know, we have, you know, typically patients have been in, you know, through different treatment pathways. And so it's rare that we encounter a patient, at least, you know, in the patients that we have experience with where they have, this is the first intervention that they've had. So, you know, we do not have a lot of data right now on those different, but I can tell you that it's typically and typically it's not only treatment with our device, they may actually be getting additional fillers, whether it's fat grafting or whether it's hyaluronic acid, they might be getting skin resurfacing. So it's, you know, it really comes down to what's best for that particular patient. But to date, we have seen that at least our device performs well in all those types of, you know, in all those types of cases.
Well, that's amazing. Well, guys, there you have it. We're talking to Dan Holton from Cypress Medical coming up with the exact device pretty soon, coming hopefully to clinical trials and then to market. And the first device of its kind to replace this technology that's so old, our sutures and our needle holders that we've had around for almost 100 years. So I'm so excited to try it. Thank you so much, Dan. Where can our listeners find you if they're interested to find out more information about Exact and Cypress?
So you can look us up on the web. Our website is www.cypressmed.com, and Cypress is spelled C-Y-P-R-I-S. And if you're wondering what Cypress means, it's actually a surname for Aphrodite. It means Lady of the Island of Cyprus. So it has relationship to that.
That's beauty from the Greek side. Well, that's so cool. I hope you have an Instagram. May I just be your social media advisor? When you need a social media advisor, I volunteer.
Perfect.
We don't look at websites anymore. Consumers do not look at websites. We need an Instagram. That's where we do our research. Cosmetic aesthetic world.
Yes. Well, you can do it. We're at Cypress Medical. I can tell you that we're probably not as mature with our use of social media, but we do have an Instagram, we have a Twitter, and we do have Facebook, but I know in Instagram it is at Cypress Medical. So you can find us there. We also have a smaller site, which is less visited, which is at Exact Lift.
Perfect. And I want you, Dan Holton, to start your own Instagram. Did you know I told Brent Saunders that he needed to develop his Instagram, and the former chairman and CEO of Allergan, and make it into like his voice, and that he himself is a thought leader and people are curious about what he has to say. And the daily struggles of what you're doing to build the brand and the company are really interesting to us. So you should start your own Instagram.
Okay, great. I do have one. But you'll just find a lot of information about my kids on there.
you're allowed. I put my puppy in there once in a while and my kids once in a while, but bring in your work life and it grows a life of its own. It actually is very interesting, and you'll have a whole community of people that are they just find you. Like, the fortuitousness of Instagram is kind of cool. Just like how I found you.
Thank you. Great. Nope. That's good advice.
Yes, I'm going to look you up and follow you. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to check out Exact Technology. You can find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces. It's Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my amazing skincare line. Dan, I'm going to send you some of my Deep Blue Hydration Serum. All the guys love it after shaving. It's the best. You guys will love that so much. Don't forget, we are here every Tuesday doing a longer podcast, and Fridays I do a 5-minute Friday. Go to the Apple store and send us some comments, give us a ranking, rating, and review, and screenshot that, send it over to me at info@beautybydrk.com, and we'll send you a trial size sample of some of our good stuff. That's it for now, guys. Thanks again, Dan, for joining us. Everyone stay tight and beautiful.